It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, and we have a very special episode, our Pirate Playback, as the Pirates lose once again, and this time to UCF, as they lose to the Knights 37-10. Joined by our usual suspects, first from LaGrange, Kyle from LaGrange. What's up, man?
Good on, David. How are you? This lovely, lovely fall morning.
Well, the morning is beautiful, not my feelings towards sports right now, but we'll get into that. Bubba Rosenbaum, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm just getting back into Clemens, watching my son's travel baseball here in about 30 minutes.
Well, we'll do the very best we can and get you to the game. Maybe Cal and I can continue. We'll figure it all out. Tough day at the office. Holt Naylors gets his first start, but as expected, definitely not the way we wanted things to be. Pirates lose, and I just want to get your – I'll give my thoughts, but want to get your thoughts, guys, first off.
Well, I thought Holton, you know, played well. He made some mistakes, turned the ball over. But that's going to be, you know, what's going to happen when you first start. Well, besides that, he played well, showed a lot of potential. I thought that we did not use the running game properly. You got Holton in there. You got the ability to do the zone read and actually make the fake, you can use your damn running back because the fake will work. You have the Holton acting like he's going to run it and will work, and you can give the ball to Penix or Powell, and I just think we ran our running backs enough. He threw the ball an awful lot, which, hey, man, he can throw the ball. I don't know how many passing yards he ended up with, close to 400. Yeah, that's good. Terrence Copper actually alluded to this. You don't need to use him as your primary running back also. It's great to run him because he has that ability. But, okay, my God, you need to run. I think him and Penix complement each other well. And
yeah,
I don't think we ran Penix enough. Imagine that. I don't know. But really, you know, made me sick last night here. A small minority of our fans that were, you know, pleased with the results that we hung in with UCF. Man, UCF didn't even start their starting quarterback. And not because he had some major injury. He's just banged up. He had a sore shoulder. He could have played. And yeah, they knew they could beat us without him.
Right.
And so that's why we were in the game. Yeah. Had he been starting, the game would have been over with by halftime.
Yeah, it would be the usual. That's why they did that, to give experience and not hurt him for this. It's basically what they did.
Yeah, he's banged up, and they knew they could beat us without him, and they got an off week coming up, and he'll be ready for the stretch run now.
Right. And they have three home games, and obviously at UCF coming up. So.
Yeah, and they're trying to – they want to make a run, you know, not only for a New Year's Six Bowl. They have aspirations of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I thought Blackwell's defense played well. I thought that the turnovers hurt us.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I thought some of the play calling was terrible. I thought, you know, when you got Reed, when you got Holton, with inexperienced as he is in the fourth quarter, and you have it's third and goal from the two.
Yep.
And, you know, it's four down territory. To call that jump pass there was so stupid.
Just run it right through it.
Just run the ball. Just run the ball two straight downs. Look, man, if Holt, you put Darius Penix and Holton in there, you let one block for the other, you're gonna get it in that damn end zone. It's a penalty, but it's never called. Hand the ball to Penix and then tell Holton to go push his ass in the end zone.
Yeah.
Go push him. I mean, Bubba, what do you think?
Kind of like last week, and defense kept us in it, and then obviously Mackenzie Milton wasn't playing, so, I mean, nothing more needs to be said about that. But yeah, our defense forced three straight punts to start the game, and then they did allow those two field goals, but they gave us a chance breaking in a new quarterback in a starting role. We had the golden opportunity to really go ahead and get some momentum early. And we had some, but not to the extent that it could have been. And then I'd say, even though things had gone the way they had in the second half, I mean, you had a 23-10 ball game, and despite the two or three turnovers up to that point, you get to that point and the situation you just described where we had a chance to make it 23-17, and all of a sudden you have a 94-yard scoop and score, and that was the ball game at that point.
That definitely iced.
So coming into the game, I mean, you talked about how we would probably need to be plus three, plus four in the turnover battle, and what did we end up? We ended up minus five. So, but as far as Holton's play, I was very encouraged. I certainly think that he gives us the best chance to win. We only ran the ball 11 times.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
You had four in the first half, seven in the second half. I looked at the stats at halftime. You had Darius Penix and Anthony Scott, who only had two carries apiece. And coming into the game, that's what UCF was allowing, right at 200 yards per game on the ground. And I know we have Brandon Pena out. I know we had John Spellacy out. And then Garrett McGinn went down during the game. Deontay Smith also went down, but he came back. But just when you can not run the ball whatsoever, that's just going to – I mean, pretty much, I mean, you had a guy in Holton making his first career start, and you were asking him to win the ball game.
That's ridiculous. And we could have ran it. We could have ran it, Bubba. Even with the O-line guys out, with Holton's ability to run, they would have bit on some of those fakes if you handed the ball to one of the backs, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, 53 pass attempts, 27 rushes for Holton. So, I mean, out of our 94 plays, he had the ball 80-plus of those. And then
ridiculous. Like Terrence Coverson. It's like Terrence Coverson. God knows I don't call it Terrence Coverson much. He said we're going to get Holton killed if we keep playing him like that.
That's another thing.
One of the throws that I really wanted to call attention to, I mean – of course, most people remember the post to Trayvon. That was an excellent throw. But then the one he made early on, Holton, that is, he was rolling to his left toward their sideline, and he made a throw, and it's also a tremendous catch by DeAndre Ferrier. No. And DeAndre Ferrier had one of his better games. I think he had five or six catches for about 105 or 10 yards. And but there again, he had one of the fumbles, and he scared me for his career, the way he runs with the football. I mean, he's very loose with it, and he made a nice catch. And then we had the ball, or would have had the ball, down there inside the red zone, and he got stripped from behind.
Yeah, you got to coach that. You got to get him to carry that ball high tonight. Dude, I'm just so frustrated. I'm sick of it. I mean, I really am. I'm sick of the play calling. What I saw last night and what other people saw, to me, the people that are encouraged by what they saw are one of two things. One, they just love Holton, and that's fine. I understand that. And the other people that were encouraged by what they saw don't know what the hell they saw. What we were just saying about the lack of running game and the lack of trying to run the ball with running backs is just utterly and figuratively ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And then for Coach Montgomery to actually say, to actually put these words out of his mouth 2 weeks ago, we're not going to win around here like we used to. We're going to win running the ball here in the American. Well, then run the ball, dip. I mean, run it. You've got a banged up O-line. I understand that. But you've got Holton Ahlers in there. You're running Holton. They're going to bite on that fake. Holton fakes the run, hands it off. They're going to bite on that. If you do it maybe two, three times, it doesn't work. But eventually it's going to work. And when you keep going back to something like that and they keep and they bite on Holton, and then all of a sudden, oh, Holton don't have the ball, Haseem Howell does, Darius Bennett does, one of these times not only will it work, it's going to work for a big run because that's just how things work like that. When people keep biting on one player, good God, it ain't that complicated.
Right, and that's the thing that's frustrating is the very fact that we were talking about that as we were talking about in our preview for UCF is they needed to stop abandoning the run. How many times have we said that? I sound like a broken record, but it seems like that's a common theme, not only for the season, but for this administration or this regime.
It's stupid. It's just beyond stupid. And, you know, everybody, it is irritating because you think you had a chance to win the game. But did we really ever have a chance to win that game? And here's why I say that. Bubba, we talked about this last night. Had we cut it to a touchdown, what you want to bet McKenzie Milton throws his helmet on and he goes running out there on the field?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised. We definitely discussed that last night.
Yeah.
Whether it was that situation or if we had of
– or taking the lead.
Yeah, gotten a stopped and then took a 24-23, or I guess, yeah, 24-23 lead. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. But
yeah, I'm sick of it, man. I really am. And I wish they'd fire him this week. Give Coach Blackwell a chance to be the leader for the second half of the season here, or what's left of the season, and who knows what will happen.
8-23, by the way, on the year.
I can guarantee you, Coach Blackwell being a former offensive lineman, being a defensive coordinator, if he's standing on the left sidelines, he's going to get the earpiece. He's going to tell Tony Peterson, Tony, you're the OC, but we're going to run the damn ball. So I'd be willing to bet you money. Wouldn't you guys think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of times that's certainly guys with that sort of background, whether it's a defensive and or slash offensive background, particularly an offensive lineman like that, that you would see that mindset.
Yeah, and I love the passing game. Believe me, I do think at East Carolina that our best way to succeed is to pass more than run, but you got to have a running game. God, go back to Lincoln Riley's offenses when they were most successful is when we could run the ball. Vontavious Cooper.
Right. Breon Allen.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, too, by the way, folks, just in case there is any breaking news regarding Montgomery or another situation we've heard about.
You don't have to be so secretive about that other situation. Alan Thomas even alluded to it last night on Pirate Radio.
Okay, so Tuesday looks like that we're going to have a new AD or an old AD or something to that effect.
Hopefully. Look, I'll go ahead and spit the three rumors out there. Alan Thomas alluded to it last night. He didn't go into detail with the rumors, but I will. There's three rumors out there. Rumor one, Dave Hart's going to sign a two-year deal, become AD. Rumor two, Dave Hart's going to sign a two-year deal and be called the associate chancellor in charge of athletics. And the third rumor is he's going to sign a long-term contract as advisor for ECU athletics to the chancellor. And his primary responsibility will be to find a new AD. Those are the three rumors. We'll see which one happens. I have a feeling it's going to be associate chancellor in charge of athletics. That's a bigger title than AD. It would be given more from what I understand, this is just a rumor, that he would basically be in charge of that whole side of things and wouldn't even have to answer to Staten. That it would be, you know, basically he'd run that whole department and Staten would just concentrate on the academic side of things and he wouldn't even answer to Staten, you know, theoretically. Those are the three rumors. We'll see which one happens. But what I hope of the three guys, and see if you agree, I hope it's not a long-term deal to be the advisor
right.
to the chancellor. And if it is, then I hope that caveat is in there that he's going to, his first responsibility is to find an AD.
Well, I mean, the only thing good about, would be good of that is if they, if he did a long-term deal, is to hire AD and then ride off into the sunset, meaning that you'd have a fresh start, you'd get hopefully the right guy in there or lady in there. And but otherwise, if it's just where we're going to just kick the can down the road, then, yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
And
well, the Board of Trustees meeting is Tuesday. It looks like something's going to happen then, unless, you know, they change their mind. You know, our Board of Trustees seem to have such egos, they may just decide not to do it or put it off a week because somebody flew a plane.
Well, that was one of the issues I was going to talk about. I wanted to mention, too, that before we get into the plane, boss, the plane, is we heard rumors that Scotty was thinking that he could be fired after the Central Florida game. If any of the breaking news happens, of course, we're going to have emergency pod, right, guys?
Yeah, I did hear that rumor. I do not know how much validity it has. But there was a rumor floating around out there that Coach Montgomery – thought or scared, fear, whatever, that things went terrible against UCF. He could be fired this week, going into an off week. And like I said, I don't know how much validity that rumor has to it.
Right. Well, there, I think there's more validity to the Dave Hart situation than
I think the fact that the Board of Trustees has a meeting scheduled for Tuesday that wasn't on the books, and that Dave Hart stuff came out before that announcement was made. It's not like the Dave Hart stuff came out after the Board of Trustees announced and people were trying to, oh, well, you see what I'm saying? The Dave Hart stuff was being bantered about then the Board of Trustees meeting was announced. So there seems to be some fire there where that smoke is.
Now let's move on to the plane and interesting stuff. And apparently we knew about this. It was not Dr. John Bream. So everybody that's going to say Banner Boy or whatever, it was not him. And I know that he addressed that, but it's not the Banner Boy. So it was actually somebody else who wanted to remain anonymous, and we'll just say that, right?
Correct. It was not Dr. Bream.
Was it Kyle from LaGrange?
It was not Kyle from LaGrange.
Oh,
y'all,
man.
Go ahead. Y'all can blame me if you want to. I don't care. It was not Dr. Bream. It was someone else. That wants to remain anonymous, and we will respect that. And but it was not, and we're not just saying what Dr. Bream. It really was not John Bream that did that plane.
Nor his
idea.
No.
I think it was a great banner stating the facts. ECU has no leadership. And it was a good play on words, and it was 100% true. And you know, I don't know that it'll cause the controversy that the fire Comfort plane did, because there were some people that just defended the people that, you know, that we said fire someone so blatantly like that. But you know, I think it was good. I think it got some attention. And look, ECU's in a mess, man. We are not only the football program, but just the whole athletic department is just a hot mess. And it has been now for a while, from Comfort, Cecil Staton, you know, inability to make a decision after Comfort steps down. And then the football program just in dire straits. And it's just, East Carolina's a mess.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that bothers me, and I want to send this out to the folks in the Ward building. They're listening. Different people I've talked to have called me over the, you know, the last couple of years or whatever, or I'll be in a gas station wearing East Carolina. I mean, it could be pumping gas at a gas station. It could be at a store or whatever. They see my East Carolina stuff and they say, what in the world has happened to East Carolina? I even talked to an NC State fan who said that, that, you know, your school can't even hire anybody because you can't afford them after the news that came out this week. And so, and which is not true. And I made that very clear. Just because they put that out there about the $75 a student, we can get we're not trying to be Carolina and like get $3-4 million a year for a coach, but you can get one for $1.5 million. I think the simple fact is, what is the song "Tighten Up" by Archie Bell and the Trails? We need to tighten up, and that's the one thing right now is that it's like throwing up paint against the wall and hoping it sticks. And so the public perception since the Ruffing McNeil firing of East Carolina has been terrible. It's not been good, and it's only gone from bad to worse. And I just use that one example. I've had, 50, 100, maybe more example people I didn't even know, in addition to the people that I do know. And like you guys, we talk off the air, off the podcast all the time. And it's just frustrating when you see a great university like East Carolina be diminished. If you want to have the next great national university, well, your public perception needs to be spot on. It needs to be correct. It's not spot on right now. Things are not great, but it could be a lot better based on that. And I just mentioned, I said, how you fix everything? You fix everything by having an athletic director who makes the football hire. Or, in the particular case, I find this interesting, guys, is the fact that, I think people know after that article too, I think people know that the chewing gum is losing its flavor. And the whole AD situation with Dave Hart and this whole advisor thing, they were trying to push that. They were trying to stretch that as long as they could. I think they see that it's like a rubber band. It's getting ready to pop.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I want to speak on something you alluded to. People out there in pirate land and anyone who's not a pirate, when you say, who are we going to get?
Right.
We can't afford anybody better. That is the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. It is beyond stupid.
I told you about that, 2 weeks ago we had that.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're right. What we're paying Scotty Montgomery, we can pay a lot of other coaches that are a lot better than Scotty Montgomery.
Right.
We're not paying Scotty Montgomery $200,000 a year. We're paying him $1,200,000 a year. Okay?
Right. The win-8 games.
Yes. So there's a whole heap of coaches, as Andy Griffith would say, that would love to come to East Carolina and make that kind of money. Mike Houston, a guy that never can remember the head coach of Elon. Bubba, throw me his name.
Kurt Cignetti.
Kurt Cignetti.
Mike Houston, Kurt Cignetti. You got former coaches. Guys, I'm mentioning Rich Rodriguez again. I think what happened to him in Arizona was BS. I think he's a great coach, and he wants to get back in coaching, and nobody's giving him an opportunity. And because of today's climate, and look, the charges were dropped. And Rich Rod's a great coach. There's somebody else right there. I could name FCS coaches and former head coaches that are just sitting on their hands doing nothing all day.
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze, yes, controversial hire, but he's a great coach. You look at somebody that has no controversy at all, that was just fired because Tennessee fans didn't like him, that Dave Hart hired in Tennessee, and Butch Jones. Butch Jones would be a great hire here. You look at Butch Davis down at FIU, who I believe would leave FIU to come to East Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
There are tons of good coaches. There's more from the FCS side of things that we could dive deeper into. There are so many. There's coordinators. The Shane Beamer thing, I've gone over 100 times with his ties to this area and him being at Oklahoma. I think Shane Beamer would be a good fit here. There are other good coordinators, and then people go, well, you just hire a coordinator. That's what Scotty Montgomery was. Scotty Montgomery was a coordinator that David Cutcliffe wanted to get rid of. He had been a coordinator for 2 years.
Right.
There are a ton of good coaches out there that are FCS head coaches, that are former FBS head coaches, that are sitting there waiting for another opportunity. And there are great coordinators out there that would be good head coaches. I don't know that going the coordinator route, unless it's the right fit. If you're going to go the coordinator route, you better damn make sure it's the right fit. Otherwise, we need to be safe and and hiring a FCS head coach or a former FBS head coach is out of work.
Yeah, you know, Kyle, with the interesting thing, you make a great point. The key to the whole situation is when you're hiring a coach is you can put the label FCS, FBS, coordinator, whatever. The bottom line is when you said great fit, in other words, there's guys that you know, like a Shane Beamer who has the – you know, a dad, a legend, and Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech. He's coached close by, you know, not too far away from us, a few hours, 2.5, 3 hours away.
Oklahoma with Ruffin and Lincoln.
And right in that. I mean, there's guys that will be great fits here that necessarily maybe they don't have the head coaching experience, but he wanted the job in 2016. We do know that. He was
yeah, 15.
That's what it comes down to. If you hire a coordinator – even if it's FBS, even a guy that's had coaching and maybe they've had success, that doesn't mean that they're going to be a great fit here. So you also have to look at will they be able to relate to fans? Just like, you know, hey, on paper, Jeff Confort looked great, right? Northern Illinois, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, people push Terry Holland out, they bring him in, and it was a complete disaster. So I hope the folks in the Ward building and the people that are big donors are listening, because we do have them. Please don't push for getting the quote-unquote what you think is a sexy hire, because that doesn't always mean that that's going
to
work.
No, and if we do that, it needs to be the right sexy hire. I'll give you a good example. Everybody's talking about Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin, and I said all along, what happened at FAU last year was not Lane Kiffin, it was Kendall Briles.
Right.
Well, guess who won the pony? Look what Houston's doing with Kendall Briles as OC, and look what old Lane Kiffin's doing down at FAU this year. Not so much. You want to make a cheap kid coaching hire? Kendall Briles, you can get him for a song and dance. He's the OC at Houston. He's the reason they are winning.
He's an OC. Yeah, that's a good fit. Yeah.
Yeah, he would come in here, love the opportunity to be a coach. You know, his dad will never be a head coach again, and nor should he, but Kendall would give us access to his dad in terms of he would have his dad to lean on in terms of coaching decisions. My point of this was Kiffin's the sexy name, but it was actually Kendall Briles who was getting the job done.
That's right. And another thing is that, it's kind of like a situation when you've seen a player. Well, the coaches have seen Lane Kiffin now in Conference USA after a year, so you could be the you know, sexy new flavor this year. But
that offense just ain't the same. Kendall's taking that offense to Houston.
Right. And that's a big thing. I think the coaches right now, there's plenty of coaches. When people say that we can't get a coach, which is total BS. For the people,
that's ludicrous. It is ludicrous.
Hey, and part of the reason we're saying that as far as who else can we get is because at the groundbreaking for the Southside Expansion Project, the head of our Board of Trustees, Kieran Shanahan, made such a comment in reference to our AD, and who at the time was, of course, Jeff Compher. He said, well, I think he's doing a great job, blah, blah, blah. Who else could we get? It's going to be any better. Like what kind of mindset is that? And that's the guy that's leading the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, well, we want a Cadillac. We want a Cadillac when all we can afford is a Pinto. Is another quote from Kieran Shanahan. Kieran Shanahan, what you are is a Pinto. You're a worthless piece of crap who prints your likeness on fake coins. You're a terrible leader. You're a terrible person. You make me want to throw up. You can leave that in, David. Leave all that in, please.
Yeah, well, I concur, because it has been a complete disaster, the Board of Trustees. And I hear all the time, let me just say this about the Board of Trustees. I hear all the time about how we have these great men. Well, look, if they were so great, why are we in the shape we're in? If they were, I hope to God they don't run their businesses the way that they're running the Board of Trustees. I don't know how in the world I hear that all the time. I want to vomit. Just because you're a successful businessman or businesswoman doesn't mean that you're going to be a successful board of trustee.
And let me tell you something else. I'm gonna piggyback on that. There is a mindset amongst people like Kieran Shanahan and anybody who's successful in business or is a lawyer and is successful. Anybody who not everybody keep that in mind that's successful that way, but there are a lot of people that just assume because you're wealthy, I've been successful in XYZ, I know more than you do.
Right.
Well, I can guarantee you, you put me up against any of those people, I'll school them in football. I'll school them in who should be hired as coach. Shannon, give me a call, brother. Do you want to know who we can get that's better, that we can get on a Pinto budget? Give me a call, Mr. Shanahan. I'll help you out.
Yeah, and that's what's funny is there's a lot of great fans and people in the media like ourselves that it's like we're living in two different worlds. We have the reality of us and then this fantasy protected. You know when you hear all that stupid stuff
like
about
John Edwards to America?
Yeah. When you hear about that, there's two East Carolinas, right? There's two East Carolinas.
Yeah.
There's an East Carolina for the rich people, and there's a East Carolina for the middle and working class. And I think the great thing about this whole Jeff Comfer, and I will say this, thank you, Jeff Comfer. You know why? Because you woke a lot of us up. You woke a lot of us that drink the purple Kool-Aid and went along with things, and that we probably would have never in our lifetimes, like a Bubba Rosenbaum, myself, or even a Kyle, for that matter, would have ever been an interruption. But you know what? You made us better fans. You made us a better fan base. And there's a lot of people that are not like – I think it's hilarious that the last couple of years, they haven't this year, but at games they were playing We're Not Going to Take It Anymore, Twisted Sister, the old heavy metal song. And I was like, that's exactly our theme song. We're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take the good old boy network anymore. We're not going to take, you're just going to have to accept who we pick or whatever. No, this is our university. It's East Carolina University. It's not the next great national university. We're already a great, we're an international university, Cecil State, and everybody else that are listening right now. We are a great university, and we're not going to have people ruin it. And I think that that's one good thing. You know, during 2000, 2008, and 9, whenever the economy was bad, people said through tough times brings creation and innovation. Well, we have got fans now like us that are awake, and we're watchdogs. We're watching you, and we're not going to let things get this bad ever again. I can promise you that.
No, and I mean, thank God for somebody in power like Harry Smith, who's sick of this crap too, and trying to get things done on his end.
Right.
You know, there are some good people in leadership. I believe this coming, you guys, Dave and Bubba, you may know this. I believe this year is the changeover. It's coming up June.
In 2019.
Board of Trustees.
That's
okay.
Correct.
So Mr. Coyne will be gone.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll get some good people on the Board of Trustees. Let's get John Brame on the Board of Trustees. He's a successful man. He's a doctor.
I would be all in favor of that.
Yeah, let's get somebody up there who will shake things up and just won't say yes, sir, whoever's in charge. That's what you need on the Board of Trustees. You don't need yes men. You need people up there who question things, analyze things, and care about the well-being of this university, not rubbing elbows and making friends and going to the next, you know, dinner at Cecil Staten's mansion.
Right. So that's where we are. Bubba, are you okay on time?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm watching my son's team play right now. We're in the bottom of the first.
All right, well, keep us up to date on the score, so we want to make sure you're okay with Riley, and good luck to his travel team. And Clemens, right outside of Winston-Salem today. I wanted to mention.
Hey,
I was gonna say, did you want to take a quick look around the American, as far as what took place yesterday?
Yeah, we can. One of the things I was gonna mention is the fact that one of the unbeatens went down with Cincinnati. I know UCF had a scare as well. We can talk about that.
But we already have been talking about the UCF scare.
What?
You meant USF?
USF, yeah.
I was just going to say, obviously we all knew what took place in Greenville with number 10 UCF winning 37-10 over ECU. You also had, as Dave just mentioned, Temple taking down number 20 Cincinnati 24-17. Not a huge surprise there at all. That game was in overtime, and Russo, the quarterback, threw three picks for Temple. So
wow.
And completely
still managed to win.
Yep. Still managed to win. Then you had Arkansas taking down Tulsa 23-0. You had Houston, a back and forth shootout with Navy 49-36 winners there. So Houston's clearly the team to beat in the West.
Yep.
You had Missouri 65-33 winners over Memphis. Tigers put up 646 yards of offense in that one. And that's obviously the Pirates' next opponent, being Memphis on November 3rd. And then you had, like you mentioned, down in Tampa, it was number 21, USF. They remained unbeaten, but they did get somewhat of a scare from UConn. It was the Bulls 38 and the Huskies 30. And that freshman quarterback from UConn, I'm pretty sure he's a freshman, so he had 197 yards rushing. So that's something to keep in mind. UCF's redshirt freshman quarterback gave us some issues last night. I think he ran for about 115 or 20 yards. And so when the Pirates play the Huskies here in a few weeks, keep that in mind.
Yeah, well, that quarterback for UConn is good.
Something else, guys, it was a rough day for the state of North Carolina in terms of FBS play. App State was the only one to get a win. They took down UL Lafayette 27-17. And then other than that, Charlotte fell to Middle Tennessee. We know what happened in Greenville, and then the four ACC schools lost.
Yeah, and by the way, that's a great thing I want to mention, too, is that for all the NC State fans, your dreams came crashing down yesterday. So you're going to be playing that little old East Carolina that can't hire a coach or an AD, where you're going to be playing us on December 1st in Raleigh.
Yeah, they are. It wouldn't surprise me, no matter who our head coach is, if we beat them, just because it's NC State.
We have a psychological advantage, right?
Yeah, I just hope that's not what saves Montgomery's job, unless it's a position for a sixth win.
No, I don't think so.
Now, if it's win number six, then I hope it saves his job.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
Guys, something else I wanted to mention more on a national level. Obviously, the biggest result from yesterday was Purdue. What they did, obviously, Brohm did a tremendous job there last year. And then they started 0-3 with three losses by a combined 8 points. And they've since reeled off four straight, with last night obviously being the biggest, taking down the second-ranked Buckeyes 49-20 in West Lafayette.
Think about this. My boy Chris Creighton at Eastern Michigan beat Purdue, and then Purdue beat Ohio State. So by proxy, Eastern Michigan's better than Ohio State.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see too. What do you think about the polls this week? Do you think UCF? You think they'll go up?
No, I think they'll remain stagnant. I think they'll remain about 9 or 10.
So as long as they can't get anywhere close with Ohio State going down,
it's not going to affect them. They were too far. They were. Up higher. I'm trying to think who else lost. If anybody else lost above them, I don't think so.
Yeah, Michigan won. They beat Michigan State 21-7. I do recall that one. And then of course Clemson won big 41-7 over NC State.
So Clemson.
Yeah, I fully. And then you had LSU, and they beat Mississippi State.
Number five, yeah.
19-3, and they were fifth.
Yeah.
Something else of note, and we're certainly not just – this is no agenda as far as Coach Ruff, Coach Mo, that kind of thing. Just something of note, since we still care about Coach Ruff, and he was promoted to defensive coordinator.
Nice job, Oklahoma.
Seemingly a pretty nice job against TCU. They gave up 275 yards, and that was, of course, his first game as defense coordinator. They were off last week. But then something else. You had Penn State. They had struggled in recent weeks. They got a scare in Bloomington, but then they survived Indiana 33-28, and then Buffalo improved to 7-1 with a victory over Toledo, and then
you know, I wonder how Buffalo could afford to hire a good head coach.
Or how about any team in the – how about any team if it's the MAC or if it's
Buffalo. Buffalo is 7-1. UAB approved to 7-1 or either 6-1. Now, I forget which one it is yesterday also. I swear to God. Coastal Carolina, guys.
Which game were you referencing?
UAB?
UAB, UAB.
Yeah. They won.
Beat North Texas 29-21. So
that's right. And it was 7-1.
6-1.
6-1. What's Coastal Carolina's record? People want to talk about coaches.
Coastal Carolina beats UMass up in Amherst yesterday. It was a close ball game. I don't recall the score, but they improved to 4-3 with that victory.
4-3 for Coastal in their second year of FBS.
And Joe Moglia. I'm glad to see him having success coming off the health issues he had last year.
I mean, if somebody out there, when I just mentioned Coastal, went, well, they play in the Sun Belt. Yeah, it's their second year of FBS, and it's relative. They play in the Sun Belt. They have Sun Belt talent. It's all relative.
Right.
So what they're doing is impressive.
And they are division, and hello, they are division one. So
yeah, they're FBS, yeah.
But the fact is, when you have a successful head coach, it doesn't matter what level it is. The fact is, they are successful. So it's going to be an interesting time because we're going to have the AD situation. We'll have resolved, and by the time people
hopefully.
Maybe.
With this group, we got.
Give me one positive, Kyle. Come on, let's say.
Nah, we'll see. With these group of numbskulls that are running things in East Carolina, who knows what'll happen? Our next AD might be Shelly Binegar. Who knows what's going to happen? I hope that all the rumors are true. Yeah, it better not be a long term advisor. If that's the case, I'm going to wear my head through the wall. I hope it's either chancellor in charge of athletics or just straight up AD, one of the two.
Well, I think you're going to see by Christmas time definitely that we'll have things will be way better than what we are now. I really believe that, and I'm going to stick to that until I'm proven wrong. But let's say by the end of the year, by January 1, 2019. I was thinking, guys, I'm going to do Audible here. How fun would it be to do a Christmas show and a New Year's Day show where we could talk about resolutions for ourselves personally and also for the Pirate Nation? I thought that would be fun.
Can we sing Christmas carols?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Bubba, are you ever singing Christmas carols?
Sure.
By the campfire. by the fireplace.
I don't know that our listeners would be up for me singing Christmas carols, but...
Silver
sure.
bells, come on, silver bells.
Look, I'll tell you right now, I'll sing a whole bunch of songs. I'll sing, if we get a good AD like we want and a good football coach, and obviously a women's basketball coach, that's a whole other thing too. I'll sing whatever you want me to sing, and I really will lose listeners maybe, but at least I'll feel better.
You know what I'm going to sing? If we hire an AD, and hire a good football coach. You know what I'm going
to
sing? Hallelujah.
The Messiah handles Messiah. You can see that would work out perfect for Christmas, and you can do Handles Messiah where you can sing the Hallelujah chorus.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking of that song from Shrek called Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Is that the same? I don't know.
Well, I can say that it'll be Hallelujah whenever we can. This bad movie has been going on. It's kind of like people, when they don't know when to quit sequels, we just have every year the latest movie out of that bad franchise or whatever, and they don't know when to, or a good franchise, they don't know when to stop.
Exactly. Yeah, this is Coach Mo Part 3. We do not need to see Coach Mo Part 4.
Because you know what the – you already know the plot, right?
Exactly. You know, you had Coach Mo 1, the beginning. You had Coach Mo 2, Electric Boogaloo. You had Coach Mo 3, Coach's Revenge. And, you know, Coach Mo 4, what will that be? The return of sucking? I mean, I don't – but anyway.
I hope that we don't have to worry about a title for that one. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. That one will not be released.
8-23 in 3 years is not, you know, it's funny. I wanted to make a point, too. Everybody's talking about Ruff. We were talking about Ruff earlier. All these people that were talking crap about we don't not winning championships and we're not winning enough of the games. You know, with Ruff, we're mediocre. Wouldn't you take mediocre right now going to bowl games? And
we were better than mediocre. We had one. Last year we were 5-7. We won 10 games. The 2014 season, a lot of people were just angry because, you know, they thought we were going to dominate the world and we ended up winning 8 games. But, you know, what they failed to realize? You know what Jeff Confort and the Board of Trustees and some of our fans felt to realize in 2014 when we only won 8 games? We were in the American. It was a much tougher conference. Right. You know, we were playing teams, you know, that had BCS talent, you know. They failed to realize we were stepping up to the American.
Right, where we have that city talent, right?
Yeah, exactly. City speed, baby.
Oh my God! I think we could do a whole show on the last 3 years of what people have said, and that we could get a good laugh. But it's actually,
hey, what was that? What was that gentleman that called in after we beat Cincinnati last year from Washington?
Jim
from Washington on Pirate Radio. We beat Cincinnati last year, and he was pumping his chest that this year we were going to just see, boy. This year it was all going to turn around. And I remember he said one of the most sickening things I've ever heard in my life, Jim from Washington.
Oh, I know.
He said that Cecil Staton,
yep,
was going to be the next Leo Jenkins.
Oh, we need
to be tarred and feathered for saying that. That is the most sickening, nauseating, disgusting thing I ever heard in my life. And what a great disrespect to a man like Lord have mercy, to a man like Leo Jenkins. I almost said to a man like Cecil Staton, and it messed me up. I mean, how disrespectful to Leo Jenkins' legacy and what all he did for this university to compare him to a man like Cecil Staton, you know, just with his background, with the controversy he had in Georgia and having to step down from the state Senate for the Beth Merkelson scandal, just to compare him just solely because of that.
Right.
To Leo Jenkins is a disgrace.
It's been everything. July of 2016 is when he came on, and so we've been in 2.5 years with him and Chancellor, and it's not been – I will say this to the Chancellor and to everybody that loves the Chancellor. It should be what you are going to do for the university, kind of like borrowing from JFK, not what the university is going to do for you. So let me just make that very clear. You didn't come here – hopefully you came to give and to your expertise, and you're supposed to be very smart, and you're supposed to give, not take. And so we need to make sure with the people we're hiring that they're here not to get a paycheck, because we talk about paid pirates. That's what we mean by a paid pirate, where they come in and they take a paycheck, they come in and they get a new house, they come in and they cannot make a decision on athletic director. They come in and, I mean, I could go on and on and on. They can't make a decision about the band protest. They flip-flop on that like a politician. So we need leadership. A real leader would be a Leo Jenkins. If you want to learn about a legacy, then study Dr. Jenkins, because we would be University of North Carolina. I talked about that before at Greenville. We would not have a med school at Vidant Medical Center. We wouldn't have the ECU Brody School of Medicine. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you could look up for Dr. Jenkins. So when you think about Leo Jenkins, to mention those two, I think Terry Gallagher, who's a huge fan of our show and a new friend, appreciate him. Those shouldn't even be mentioned in the same sentence, those two names, ever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I remember I jokingly
as Terry Gallagher, who knew Leo Jenkins, how he would compare Leo Jenkins to Cecil Staten, and he couldn't even believe I'd even ask him that. He was just
he was flabbergasted. Yeah,
exactly. Great word.
So I know we have the. Are we going to win the bye week?
Ruffin. You know, he's not here. Can we beat off? I don't know. Speaking of beating off, Bubba, do you have the stats?
Oh, give me just a moment.
He's watching the game. See, he's watching. He took his eye off the ball. He's watching the game.
Yeah.
He does have the eye on the ball.
Riley's team is winning 2-0 after 1.5.
All right. Get them, Riley's team. Well, what are they called?
They're Easterling Diamond Sports, and there is no nicknames or mascot. But
just straight up corporate sponsorship. All right. Like
yeah.
NASCAR. Like you're in NASCAR country there in the Charlotte area.
Can I throw a point in before Bubba's looking for the stats?
Not if it's about NASCAR.
No, it's not about NASCAR.
Okay.
I was just going to say that Dr. Bream had a great idea to get naming rights for the stadium as a source of income. There's different ways that we need to come up with revenue to bridge the gap between what we can raise and that. And not just putting all the students' bags. I forgot to mention that last week. I wanted to mention that. So,
it would be annoying, but I know Southern Miss is having more financial struggles than we are, and they actually have a bank. They have, we do where it's a first down Pirates. They go where it's another Southern Miss first down, and then the fans say to the top. And they have a bank. I don't remember the bank. We'll say First National. And now, instead of going where it's another Southern Miss first down, then the thing goes to the top, it's another Southern National Bank first down to the top. I mean, we could do something like that. We could be creative where it goes, where it's Wells Fargo first down Pirates. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. Think about how many times during the course of a game that advertisement would be said. I mean, that would be a very appealing sponsorship. We need to be creative to make more money.
Yeah, I would be as, hey, money coming in, I don't care. As long as we're winning games and we got sponsors and a way to make extra money to help the program, so be it. Bring it on.
You got the stats ready, Bubba?
I'm good to go.
All right.
Bubba, what else
is that? When you take a look at things and say we had 29 first downs to UCS 22, total yards 496 to 427 in favor of ECU on 94 plays as opposed to 76 for the Knights. Net rushing, though, which was obviously something that we harped on earlier, you had 90 yards for ECU. 69 of those were for Holton Ayler's. And then, so outside of Holton Ayler's guys, we had 11 rushes for 21 yards. So, obviously, nothing more needs to be said about that. With the passing game, we threw for 406. UCF threw for 111. And then the big one, 5 turnovers for the Pirates, 0 for the Knights. On the individual side of things, Holton finished 29 of 53. 406 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He was sacked 3 times in the ground game. 27 carries for 69 yards. Anthony Scott, 6 for 21. And then you had Darius Penix with 4 for 0.
And why would you ask? You just read me this again, and Holton, except for the turnover stats, were impressive. Why in the world are you going to put this whole game on that boy's shoulders his first start? I mean, that's just terrible. That is just terrible coaching.
Yeah, and so that just shows you where we are on a number of levels.
It goes again that we have terrible play calling. You look at the – and I wanted to say this, too, for folks. I was watching the game last night and thinking when I saw that game, I was saying – coaching matters. If you don't think coaching doesn't matter, do you remember the defense from last year versus the defense from this year? We've said that before, but I wanted to mention that the the coordinator situation is literally, when it is like two different sides of the ball. It is night and day difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people may say, well, then, hey, let's just hire a new offensive coordinator. But, you know, we're past that point.
No, we had a chance after year one. This is year three, and so you kind of have to go down. It's kind of like the blaze of glory. You kind of have to go down now in the blaze of glory. They're going to be together or they're not going to be together.
And there's another aspect to that, too, guys. Ticket sales, Power Club memberships, a new offensive
stadium last night.
Yeah, a new
offensive. What was the attendance, by the way?
It was 31,000, I think 31,000.
Was that the actual
150, 159 or something? That was the announced number. I have no clue as far as the scan number, but yeah, that was the announced number, which was, I guess, about 1,500 to 2,000 higher than what it was last week for Houston. But the thing is, guys, I mean, you know, like I do, I mean, our season ticket sales have dropped by roughly 2,500 to 3,000 each of the last two or three years.
Yeah.
So if we finish up 3-9 again,
4-8,
or even 4-8. I mean, but who's going to buy season tickets next year outside of those hardcore loyal fans like myself? I mean, this year I think it was like 13 or 13 and a half thousand. Yeah, of course. I wasn't leaving you guys out, but 13,500 season tickets or whatever it was this year, next year I wouldn't be surprised to see it taking a dip down to 10,000 or 11,000.
Unless we have a major turnaround, meaning we get to see Twins or maybe five with a win over NC State. It's going to be a hard sell to sell people on Scotty Montgomery next year. It's really, really, really is. So he's going to have to get six or, I think, five with a win over State. Would you guys agree with that?
I think it would be half.
Yeah, definitely.
Five with a win with State. I would think that would have to be, because that's the last game of the season. We definitely know that's going to happen between both teams. They're not going to make their respected championships for the ACC for NC State and the AAC for East Carolina. So it looks like now – another thing, too, is that if it's an embarrassing game like that John Thompson won in 2004 with the all-gold or whatever it was, that was god-awful uniforms.
That was highlighter yellow.
Yeah, it was terrible. That's the worst uniforms I've ever seen the Pirates play in all the years of my going, honest to God.
By the way, I'll tell you, and this is off-subject, but we're talking about uniforms. I want to see a gold helmet, guys. I think if we're going to do the gold pants and we're going to do the gold out, I don't really care about a gold jersey. But I could just picture in my head, and to me it would look so cool, a gold helmet with a purple face mask with the State of Mind logo on the side. I think it would look badass.
And there's some people actually kind of like the – I wasn't opposed to the I know people want all purple, and I'm not – let me just say, this may be blasphemous, but I'm not really a big fan of gold. But I thought the combination last night, it wasn't the uniforms last night. I thought the uniforms actually looked pretty good.
Well, they're the least of our concerns. I'd only like the gold pants if we have a gold helmet to go with it, actually. I don't like the gold – the purple helmet, purple jersey, gold pants. If we're going to do that, we need gold, purple, gold. It doesn't look right with a purple helmet. And what happened to black uniforms? God almighty, I missed the black Ruffin McNeil uniforms.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too,
that right. Black uniform that we wore in 2013 and 2014, those were definitely the best in terms of a black uniform.
And they fit the attitude back then too.
I have an idea for you guys. I'm putting this out there. Speaking of uniforms, and our great friend Terry Gallagher, and we've got a lot of great friends throughout them. The era, we could start naming all the players that are friends of ours now. But anyway, why not have at least one game a year where we honor a special team? Say if it's a Peach Bowl team, we wear the Peach Bowl uniforms. If it's the 78 Independence team like this year, we could have worn or the 83 team, we could have worn, their uniforms. Something like that I think would be really cool, a throwback uniform.
That would be cool, yeah.
I think you'll be cool. I'm not saying do it every week. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying do it every week. I'm saying like how we have the black and the gold and whatever, gold out or whatever. Do it once a year. Do one game, a throwback jersey once a year. I'm not saying the whole – so don't misunderstand me. I'm a traditionalist on, like, wearing uniforms, but
– We got it.
I think that would be cool.
One game a year. Well, I guess the argument would be made, you know, and I know we're allotted X number of dollars from Adidas for uniforms, that, well, that's money we don't have to spend, but we really can't spend it on anything else. That money's allotted for equipment and uniforms. So – I would like to see that, sure. A throwback jersey, you know, honoring the Peach Bowl, honor the Independence Bowl, honor the 99 team. I mean, there'd be several different things we could do. And, yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Invite those folks back, and you could have them at halftime honor them, you know, and have like a whole weekend of honoring that team or whatever. But I think that would be once a year. Again, notice I said once a year because I know people are going to say, oh, he just wants it where every week we have a different looking uniform or a different era. No, well, that's what makes something special is when you do it just once a year, one home game a year.
That's what your wife does anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. You got me. I'm trying to get out of here and you give me a thing. So, again, folks, want to remind you, as always, anytime there's any breaking news, all the way back to the beginning of this podcast, that's what made this the debut of Kyle from LaGrange on this podcast is because of Mr. Jeff Comfer buyout. And then we had a Dave Hart and Joe Dooley, so we've had a lot of emergency podcasts. But we will definitely have more when needed. And I know, Bubba, we've got some interesting shows coming up. And I want to mention folks as well, they can, with Bubba, I know we've got great social media too.
Yeah, we do. Follow us on Twitter, TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at The Sports Objective, and like our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
All right,
yes,
guys.
Please.
I know you're watching a baseball game. Let's get a final report. How is Riley doing in his baseball game right now?
After two innings, Riley's team is winning 2-0, and Riley came to the plate, in the bottom of the second and hit the ball back up the middle off the pitching machine for a single.
There you go. Well, we're going to root on Riley from afar. I know Kyle is Kyle, I know you've got a lot of things you're working on behind the scenes at your house, and so good luck to you, my friend. If you need our help, we've got our big muscles. We can help you.
I'm expecting both of you boys to be here next weekend. We've got an off weekend. You know, we're starting the moving process Thursday. So I'm expecting David and Bubba to be here to help us move this coming weekend. Being we're off, good timing. So I know I can count on both of my broadcasting partners to help me out.
That sounds a lot of fun. A lot of fun, Dave. A lot of excitement in the air, right?
I'll buy you boys some barbecue.
Oh, man, now, there you go. That's more like it there. Well, guys, I hope you have enjoyed the rest of your weekend. I was hoping we could get an upset, but we're
just, we got up.
You know, we have the saga going on, and we'll see how it plays out. It's an interesting soap opera for sure. For Kyle from the Grange Barber and Bubba Rosenbaum, I am Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.